to go to the line. She's had the hot hand these last couple times down the court.
First free throw attempt for Marathon in the second half.
Well, the games could be won in a number of different ways, but I think from here on out they're going to want to hit their free throws because they'll keep Phillips at bay, because Phillips still has enough high-octane scoring where they can win that basketball game.
Frankly, in the high school game, sometimes it's not a bad thing to not go to the free throw line.
No.
Some teams have struggles.
Right. I mean, they only shoot 55% as a team, so I guess I'm okay with the way they're doing it.
There free it throw is too strong. No good. Rebound grab by Lily Miller. Back up court. Now comes the Loggers. Pass down a good position. Laid up and in by Kendra Timberboy.
That's not what you want.
So now it's a six-point game. Two possession. Oh, and it's thrown away on the inbound pass. Down low. Again, laid up and in by Miller. And timeout will be called by Chef Schneider. About to say, it could have been a 10-point game, and now with a minute 47 to go, 61-57, four-point lead. Timeout brought to you again by Marathon Park City, 401 Pine Street in Marathon City.
It's a tough break. You know, you go to the free throw line, you get to the one of the players you want there to finish out that stretch where you want to put the ball in the basket, and you come down, turnover happens. They get the bucket, then the turnover happens, and now you're sitting at a spot where you have to call timeout, and they're going to set up their full-court pressure again. You've got to take care of the basketball. It's so vital. And sometimes I think players, you're so caught in the moment that you forget that we have to come to the basket. We have to meet the, if the pass is going to be short, you can tell as the receiver how that pass is going to hit you, where it's going to come. And you got to go meet the pass. And if you don't, there's a result of the turnover by the other team going towards the basket.
You know, Adam Jacobs is a pretty tall guy standing over there against with True Thurs.
Yeah, when you think. Thurs is a big player. He's not over there on that one.
We'll have Adam Jacobson as our coach guest coming up on Wednesday of next week on the Big High School Sports Show, Wednesday nights from 6 till 8 p.m. Jeff and I break down what's going on in high school sports. Have a coach guest and a player guest as well. Christina Womet, I think, will be our guest coming up on Wednesday as a student-athlete guest. Inbounded, Emma Love. Better move that basketball. Love. Pass. Oh, that was a very narrow window. But now 3-on-1. Hawking.
And
she double dribbled. Had a 3-on-1.
A tough turnover. They got to play defense. I mean, they're a little shaky on those passes.
Macy Mishka
feeling
in.
The pressure.
I think Mishka in to add that energy on D.
Yeah.
Sapinski will take a seat. Wow. A minute 38 to go. 61-57. Matea Eckert coming up. Oh, a little push against Macy Mishka. Gets it over the timeline. Eckert now around the screen. Right wing side, taken there by Miller. Miller now posting out low is Eckert. Eckert up. Oh, and swatted by Mishka. They're going to give the ball.
She played pretty good defense on that stretch. She was enough applied pressure without a silly foul. She cut her off going each way. She got over the pick that was set for her to try to get a switch or a different one-on-one action. Fortunately gets the foul, but pretty good defense overall, I thought.
Yeah, that looked pretty clean. Free throw good, and now Eckert starting to make her free throws. In the second half, she has 3, 5, 7, 9, 10, 14 points, 17 in the game.
And tight, this is getting tough. The pressure's going to come. They're going to have to handle the ball in the full court pressure. Give Phillips credit. They broke it down. A lot of fouls to give.
Again, 2-for-2 trip, 61-59. Pressure right now. Nobody's moving for the Raiders. Played by Caitlin Love. Love getting doubled, ball knocked away. Oh, big collision and picked up by Rayleigh Williams. Chance to tie or take the lead now for Phillips. Out top, three-pointer Eckert is good. That was too much room. 62-61 and a foul on the inbound pass as Schneider took the inbound pass, but I don't know if Phillips has even led in this game until this point.
No, I think this is.
Oh, yeah, they had the 10-5 lead.
Right, that was it. And then that's when Marathon kind of took over and took control. Tough shot. I mean, with your best player,
another turnover.
Another turnover led to an open three-point look. Big shots here, though. Still not out of it, but you're going to have to finish this off with not turning the ball over.
Maven Schneider's had a good evening, has 13 points, but her first trip to the free throw line. Free throw. Perfect.
Nice
ice
shot.
Water.
Oh, yeah. And I give her credit because out of that, I thought it was going to come up short because she stepped backwards on that shot. Nothing but net. That's a good big shot.
58% at the line for the season. But a good shooter.
Yes.
Those coaches' kids are always good shooters.
Tend to be.
Good. 2-for-2. 63-62. And now Phillips will call timeout. Timeout again brought to you by Marathon Park City, 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. 63-62 Marathon.
Well, we're getting our money's worth.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, being putting on the broadcast for Marathon, you want to see them pull it out. But tough game here. And you're going to have to probably help out. You're going to have to talk. There's going to be picks coming. So whoever's got Eckert, there's going to be those screens. So those other girls need to be ready, whether the coach is having them hedge on the pick, step up, step back, come over the top. They're probably talking about some of those things. And then I'm sure Coach Sire's been around the block before. He's like, when we get the ball back, we're going to have to do this. And that's a tough choice. Do you get up the floor fast? Do you take the air out of it? Because if you get the stop, you're still only up one. And you got to know the foul's coming. And it better protect the basketball.
Both teams over the foul limit. Full length of the court here for Phillips. And he falls on Marathon. Double bonus, all other two. 18 fouls right now on Phillips. Pressure, full court being shown by Marathon. Inbound pass taken by Miller. Stripped of the ball. Ball is loose. Caitlin Love will take it out to Snyder. Snyder down low. Mishka lays it up and in.
That's a big play. And might have got away with the travel, but big play.
I think he did. The coach Egebrecht thought so, but 65-62 Marathon. Pass inside. Going to the basket. Eckert blocked. Ball goes out of bounds off of Marathon.
Good job by Emma Lovelu to stay straight up on that. If you swat it down, you're getting called for a foul, putting the girl that's hitting consistently from the line right now in Eckert. We'll see how they stop her. They posted her up last time and gave a nice little lob, so see if she's going to go right back to her.
Miller's going to inbound.
Here it is.
Posting up against Mishka. Eckert to the basket. No good. Gets her own rebound. Kicks it outside. Three-pointer for Williams is good.
Big shot. That girl's hit two three-pointers in a row. Still got the ball, though, and got a chance. Just got to take care of it.
30, 28 seconds. Oh, they're going to call a ticky-tack foul. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes, I
agree with the Phillips coach.
I do, too. In that situation, that is a little bit light. Again, just as people that have seen a lot of basketball games, obviously good for Marathon, but, boy, that is a ticky-tack foul.
Got to let the kids play it out. I mean, I would... We'll see. And she drilled the last two. That's not a girl I want going to the line right now.
Maven, Schneider, 1-1. Perfect again. Boy, oh boy, she's doing the job. 66-65. Coach Egebrecht is giving a few words. I think he's probably saying, number one, they missed the travel. And number two, hit that foul. Two big calls in the last few seconds.
Tough for them off, though.
Oh, got the roll. Hit the back bracket. Went up and in. And Coach Egebrecht is going to call time. 67-65 Marathon. 27.4 seconds to go. We're going to take a 30-second break. Timeout brought to you by Marathon Park City. 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. Back in a moment here on WXCO.
Parts City. Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by Parts City Auto Parts today and let us scan and diagnose the problem for free. We'll discuss possible solutions and even help you find a repair shop if needed. Get check engine light help from Parts City Auto Parts at participating stores only.
Marathon Park City, located at 401 Pine Street in Marathon City. Call 715-443-0003.
Park City.
seconds to go. 67-65. And right now, Marathon needs a stop.
Right. And I think Coach Snyder's talking about they've got to keep the ball in front of them. They can't let them take them off the dribble. They want to go one-on-one with each player and be able to help off Eckert. And they've got a good matchup. What I like is Timler's being guarded by Love now. So that's a good matchup.
Full length of the court now for the Loggers, and as Marathon does all the time, full court pressure being shown.
Can't let anybody get deeper. Got to keep in front of you. No silly fouls.
Eckert looking to inbound. Gets it into Canuck. Back to Eckert. You have to think it's going to be Eckert doing something here. Oh, she throws it away. Picked up by Maven Schneider. And then she throws it away. Picked up by Eckert. 15 seconds to go. Eckert in the right corner. Eckert on the wing. Miller out top. Williams again for three. Rattles out. No good. Rebound out of bounds. Over to Phillips. Williams had a wide open three.
And two turnovers. Eckert, you got to give her credit. She could have jacked one of those off the three and made the extra pass.
Okay. Another timeout brought to you by Marathon Park City. 401 Pine Street, Marathon City. 7.3 seconds to go, but Williams made one. Williams made two. And that one was for the lead, and that was almost a third of the way down.
Yeah, it was a great look. They made the extra pass and did what they had to do. But the fact of the matter is, again, you got to take care of the basketball down the stretch. Marathon.
Yeah, they got the turnover and then threw it away.
Yeah.
So just take the foul.
Yeah. They're going to come at you. There's going to just have to be that time. Or I'd like to see, they like to go a lot of forward passes. You could throw the reversal. I know it's not logical going backwards, but at least it's there and the foul's coming. So just protect the basketball.
Well, right now for Phillips, I would be surprised if it's not a three-point attempt.
Yeah, you may want to just get, sometimes it's nice to get out of the building and get the W down, taking the big risk. We'll see. Where'd they put Eckert?
Well, down low right
now. Okay. Last time they do that little lob to her off the block and let her turn and pivot in, that might be the safe bet. But she could easily kick it. Let's watch for, I mean, 42 has hit those two with the third one down.
You're going to put she Emma Love with her size on her.
Yep.
Inbounding will be Miller. 7.3 seconds to go. 67-65 Marathon. Looking to inbound Miller. Tipped by Mishka. Ball is grabbed by Love and a foul. Mishka again with the big play. Tipped it away. And Emma Love grabs it. And now free throws for Marathon with 5.4 seconds to go.
The girls did a good job with keeping hands high in the passing lanes. Phillips has a tendency to want to throw over the top. And they didn't reach in. It was all straight up. And that was a big deal to not pick that foul up. And double bonus.
Double bonus. Exactly right. Two made will clinch it. Free throw. No good. I don't know if they got any timeouts remaining.
And you got to be close. There's like, this is going to be a big shot, though.
Sometimes if they don't, missing it might be the way to go.
But, yeah,
but then you might lose.
Yeah, they're going to fire three if she makes it.
Oh, good. Ooh.
What did he call?
Oh, my goodness. They called a push on Miley Hulke.
Who's going to the line, though, is the key here.
But, I mean, come
I don't,
on.
I agree with you. It was minimal.
Boy, oh,
is that
boy.
Four on her? Yep. But, and Eckers at
oh,
the line.
Oh, man. I mean, literally almost the only thing that could have happened there is that.
Yep.
Oh,
tough
that,
break.
That is, I'm sorry. You can't, I did not see anything there. There's physicality, a blockout.
Yes, there is. There's
but
that
now,
body contact.
5.4 seconds, two free throws from Matea Eckert. No good.
That's a big miss. They got a box out here, though. You don't want to let them sneak in for one and put it back.
Right.
This is a big box out, as well as a big free throw. Because they're going to have to turn around, press, and follow, so you just got to get the ball and protect it.
Second free throw. Rattles out, no good. Rebound to Love. And she'll be fouled with 3.4 seconds to go. That was not a case they were trying to miss. That just rattled out.
No. And now you got to hit these. You want to put this away and give no hope.
Yes.
Or I guess you could now with the 3 seconds. Maybe you hit the first and miss the
second. If you're Coach Snyder, do you have anybody blocking out?
No, I would get him out of here. I think he's going to keep him on the first one, see what she does.
Free throw. Hits it.
Big shot.
Now we can put the finishing touches on this one.
I would clean the line. I'd clear the lane. But if, as long as you tell them not to touch and kind of just step back out. I still think it's over if she makes her miss. Doesn't matter.
Second free throw. There it is.
Big shot. That's
two for two.
Yep, nail in the coffin.
69-65.
I would get away
Eckert
from him.
Eckert then bobbles it. And that will do it. And a big win tonight. Marathon's been looking for what would be considered a signature win, and I think this is one.
Yeah, big time. I mean, they came out after that five. It was a 5-point lead. It was 10-5. Marathon really put their foot down. They weathered this storm, which was not. Give Phillips credit. Hit some big shots, but again, a point in this game when you beat the top team in the league in the Marrowood North, win ugly is fine.
Oh, absolutely.
Now we got to finish it out.
And this is one you take to the bank and learn from it for when you have another situation, I think, in probably the next couple of weeks.
Well, I was surprised at the amount of turnovers that Marathon was able to create. They had a lot of good moments in that press where got Phillips to turn the ball over a lot.
Well, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back for our post game, look at the numbers, recap this one, talk to head coach Jeff Snyder. 69-65 Marathon over Phillips. This is Red Raiders basketball on 98.9 WXVA.
County Materials has been a trusted industry resource and a leading manufacturer for concrete construction and landscape products since 1946. Our success wouldn't be possible without our dedicated and hardworking team members. We recently celebrated Team Member Appreciation Week to recognize our people and their contributions to the company. County Materials proudly invests in our team members through skills training, career growth and relocation opportunities, and competitive wages. Join our team by visiting workatcounty.com.
Marathon Cheese Corporation is looking for dedicated workers to join our winning team on second and third shift. Wages start at $17.27 per hour, and there's plenty of opportunity for advancement and higher wages. If you're looking for a job with great pay and benefits, with a set work schedule in a clean, climate-controlled environment, stop in at 304 East Street in Marathon and fill out an application, or check out our website at www.mcheese.com. That's www.mcheese.com for a listing of all of our open positions.
Does your office have a disaster plan for data? Have you tested your backups? Even something as simple as a hard drive failure, power outage, employee error, or lightning strike can stop your business cold if you can't get to your documents or email. Prolonged downtime costs money and could cost your company everything. That's why the Dirks Group offers Rapid Recovery, a disaster recovery solution that can help you get your data back fast. Rapid Recovery uses a remote backup system that's monitored and verified so you know your backups will work in the event of a disaster. With the Dirks Group and Rapid Recovery, you get the peace of mind of knowing everything is taken care of. Your data can be restored quickly, accurately, and easily. Visit DirksGroup.com to learn more about Rapid Recovery and other Dirks Group IT services that go beyond the network.
When you order a steak at your favorite restaurant, you expect it to be cooked just right and to have it surrounded with all the sides you wanted. Hello, my name is Steve Brickner, and I feel the same way about cars. Here at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago, we'll help you order your brand new Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, or Jeep and get it equipped the way you want it and the color you've always dreamed of. That means you won't overpay for something you don't want. This is just another reason people make the drive north of Marathon to Little Chicago. We may be in the middle of nowhere, but there's no better testament that shows we take care of our customers better than anyone else around. You won't hear gimmicks, no overpromising, or under-delivering. Whether you choose from our in-stock selection or order factory fresh, quality vehicles and competitive prices are what keep people coming back again and again. Make the drive out to Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's northeast side and let our family take care of your family. You can count on us.
Here at the Marathon High School gym, big doubleheader of basketball tonight. Marathon boys defeated Phillips by a score of 83-58, and then the girls hold off Phillips 69-65. Let's look at the numbers of that girls game. 21 points for Matea Eckert, 6 two-pointers, a three-pointer, 6 of 13 at the free throw line. 18 points for Kendra Timmers, 7 two-pointers, 4 of 9 from the stripe. 11 points for Lily Miller, 5 two-pointers, and 1 for 3 at the free throw line. Rayleigh Williams, 10 points all in the second half, had a two-pointer, a pair of big three-pointers, 2 for 2 at the free throw line, one basket for Sarah Kanak for 2 points. 22 pointers, 4 three-pointers, 13 of 17 at the stripe tonight for the Phillips Loggers. For the Marathon Red Raiders, Maven Schneider, 17 points, 5 two-pointers, a three-pointer, and 4 for 4, all late at the free throw line. 15 points for Caitlin Love. She had 3 two-pointers and 3 three-pointers. 10 points for Miley Halkey. 3 two-pointers, a three-pointer, 1 for 3 at the stripe. Emma Love had 8 points, a pair of baskets, and 4 of 6 at the free throw line. Macy Mishka had 6 points on 3 baskets. 5 points for Chenping Pakatong, a three-pointer, and 2 for 2 at the stripe. Pair of baskets for Danica Pashek for 4 points. Pair of baskets for Kaden Sapinski for 4 points. 22 pointers, 6 three-pointers, 11 of 15 from the stripe for the Marathon Red Raiders.
A color guy and everything on here.
Just for you guys.
This is
just for you guys.
This is a special treat.
I know. I tell you,
Chad is amazing. But then you throw the color man.
You're gonna have to. You have to go to the archive and listen to all the good stuff he said tonight.
I will. I drove out here, and I'm a little worried about the snowstorm. So I'm glad you came up here. You got a place for me to stay?
I do.
Okay.
You're welcome anytime.
Number one, you could see by the reaction of the girls that this was a big win.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just told them in the locker room, we talked about it before the game where, you know, we beat the teams that we should beat or whatever you want to say it. And this is a conference champ. This is a kid who's really good in Mattia. And obviously they never give up. They made big shots and came back. And, boy, just super proud of our kids to really pull this one out.
And I was impressed with the way your press and it just flustered them from the get-go. I mean, there were turnovers, but they never got comfortable. Hands were on balls. They were your girls were back on the backside protecting the basket, and I just thought it was a credit to your defense. I mean, Eckert didn't get comfortable until that little run at the end.
Yeah.
And I asked Chad before he came out how many she had, 21. I wouldn't say that. It was quiet. She was
– Yeah.
And you could tell by her she was tight in the free throw. So what about your defense tonight?
I can't say enough. I mean, we just talked about that too, that, you know, we never let them really get rhythm on offense, and especially kids. I mean, they got kids that can shoot the ball. You've seen that. And, you know, especially when they go from Mattia to – a wide open shot, and they can knock them down. And I thought we did a good job on that. We move kids around on her. You know, sometimes we had Macy Mishka on her to really give her things. You know, and then, you know, credit to her and credit to Coach Egerich. I mean, boy, she goes down and uses her size and her strength and went down into the basket. So, I mean, our kids adjusted to that too. And I mean, Emma just made a super play on that inbound there at the end.
You said Macy Mishka. I thought she was a ball of energy tonight. I thought she was a huge factor. She got into the grill. She was not intimidated one bit when she was working against Eckert. Boy, she was really fun to watch tonight.
She did. And, you know, she's got the quickness and athleticism, but she's also got length with her arms. And I think when she gets them out, she's just really hard to go. And you could see that even with Mattia, who's long and good with the ball, and she struggled at times. So, that was really good, just to get her flustered and to get her, I'd say it, tired, you know, because she's a big part of, huge part of what they do. So we wanted to wear down, and the kids did that.
Did you think to be up by that many points at half?
I did not.
A team like this?
That is as well as we've shot it in terms of really, I thought, getting our feet ready and taking advantage of especially a zone, you know. And against a zone, we haven't busted out and just made people pay for zoning us. But we did that tonight, and that was nice. I thought that gave us, you know, obviously gave us the separation on the scoreboard a little bit. And, you know, it's hard to sustain that level. You know, hopefully we can keep working and become more consistent. But, that was some of the best offensive basketball we've had because, you know, we moved it well enough. We got good looks, and then, you know, then we made shots.
And what's your idea? That was what I was going to ask next, that offensive flow. I thought on top of the turnovers you were creating to keep that space and keep them at bay, you're hitting your outside shots, whether it's through heavy reversals, skips, making that zone shift from top. But then all of a sudden, you got girls flashing the dead spots in the short corner or the free throw line spot, and you just killed it. It was high-low action and down for a bucket.
Yeah. I thank you, Jeff, because we do a heck of a lot of work at trying to fill that free throw line spot, that gray area, you know, and getting the ball to the short corner and skipping and moving and attacking and punching gaps. And you say you try to keep it simple with concepts, and when the kids can just play off of each other and do those concepts and then play out of that, that's when the best basketball comes. And that was just so fun to watch in the first half especially.
It's never easy to maybe talk about the offspring, but man, Maven made some big plays tonight, and those free throws were just huge. And
yeah,
you have to be very proud of what she did tonight.
I'm super proud of her. She's battled through injuries and battled through, I mean, like a lot of our young kids, they're young, and they're, you know, especially our three sophomores, is, you know, it's up and down, and it's turnovers, it's missed shots, it's, you know, not great decisions. And then, you know, success is, you got to take it when it comes. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of them have really worked hard. And I know she's worked hard. She's been up and down a little bit with her free throws. But, boy, those were huge.
And How big? It's not maybe that, you know, you don't want to deplete the lead and then have to go back and forth and all of a sudden find yourself down by one at the point you were. But at the same time, I really think it says a lot about your team and the battle and finishing it off. And it, again, it's not the way you maybe sketch it out, want to finish it, but the girls got to be, and you can really build off. Like we didn't, we broke a little bit, but we didn't break. We came back and back and back.
Yeah, I thought the next possession after, there was about a 4-0 run, and we threw it away here for a layup. And, you know, that one we came back and we were pretty solid, you know, drew a foul. You know, that's a toughness possession that you're right, that's growing, and that's nice to see that, you know, you can get hit in the face a little bit, and we did, and we came back and you know, didn't flinch and just made some big plays.
Congratulations. I think after this, he's going to have to come back. Come back on Monday, you know?
He can come back anytime he wants.
Jim. I was happy. Hey, you know, we all root for different people. It made me happy that you won. It was a great game. Your girls played really well.
It.
A lot to be proud of.
I'll tell you, I knew you were here. You know, Chad, you know, him, I get a little, but then I had the color man here. He makes me even extra a little anxious, you know. So I'm super thankful, and we're all grateful for the work you guys do for us. And then all the way around with high school athletics. I mean, unbelievable the coverage that all these sports get, and it's a huge, huge O that we to you guys. And so I mean that, and we all thank you here.
Appreciate
coaches
that.
All the way around, players, parents, everybody.
Thank you, and see you Monday. Head coach Jeff Snyder of the Marathon Red Raiders, 69-65 Marathon. Marathon improves to – what are they now? Let me pull this up. They are now 17-5 overall, 10-5 in conference. Phillips 17-6, 11-4. Well, I to put a finishing touch on the action tonight. Good night of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, both games. I mean, you came out and you had the boys in the first game just disciplined basketball, held their own defensively, took a physical spot in the middle and held the ground with the way their players were able to do it and kept Phillips in check. Their scores never got going in the right direction alone. And then you turn around the girls game and more turnovers than I would expect out of a older fast paced been around the block Phillips team. And then they had the offense to match, and they did it with a number of players stepping up at different times, whether it was some of their youth, with some of their experience. And bottom line is, when you get those close victories like that in a tough one, you make plays when you have to. And I think he said it well. Two players got their hands on that ball down on the baseline on that last play, and that was a big deal that they didn't foul there and just got their hands enough to disrupt Phillips' inbounds play.
Well, you want to do it again sometime?
Hey, this is fun. Yes, I would. with no car problems during the
there
day for my wife's car and getting out here not in a snowstorm.
Well,
so all good.
Thankfully, you got it all done, because it would have been a real shame if you wouldn't have been able to get over here.
But it was fun. I'm really glad I did, and I appreciate the invite. And you got two great games on the docket for us, Chad, so appreciate all you do. I hope people are thankful for all your coverage.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back on Wednesday for the big high school sports show. We'll get a chance to talk to Coach Jacobson of the Red Raiders and outstanding young lady, Christina Womet from Lakeland as well. But, again, it was a lot of fun. And we'll definitely have to do it much, 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 much sooner, because I don't even know how many years it's been. It's been too many, that's for sure.
It's fun. I appreciate the invite.
69-65 Marathon over Phillips. Thanks to our sponsors, without whose help we could not bring you Marathon High School basketball. And thanks to you for joining us. And I'm Chad Holmes. This has been Marathon High School Girls Basketball on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Marathon High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Sports has been brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Park City, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, The People's State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. Thanks for joining us for Marathon High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO.
Books like they, you know, just, you know, with this Pete Hegseth running the Pentagon for the last 2 or 3 weeks or last couple weeks, they're like taking books out of military school libraries that are like biographies of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's like, that's considered like propaganda now to talk about a successful woman. You know, they're taking women's pictures off the walls. They're scrubbing websites of achievements by women soldiers.
They're simply rewriting history. And you know, what keeps being thrown back at me, Will, is, you know, when Democrats take charge, why don't they do this? You know, why aren't we doing the same thing? Why aren't we taking Ronald Reagan's name off everything? Why aren't we undoing all the horrible? And policy-wise, they got a point. I don't know about the rest of it, but policy-wise, Democrats never seem to snap back. And I worry that, you know, even if Democrats take power in 2 years and then the White House in 4 years, all of the horrible stuff that they're doing, a lot of it's going to stick. That's my concern. But, Will, as always, I appreciate the work that you do over at the Philly Inquirer. It's all great stuff. You are one of my favorite reporters, one of my go-to guys. I appreciate the time.
Wow, that really means a lot. Thanks for saying that. And thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Look forward to the get real
time. I'll be back.
Thanks so much, our good friend Will Bunch. And look, you know, as I said, I'm concerned that a lot of this stuff does stay. And, well, Democrats, spine, find one. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at thebricksmithshow.com. Right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, snow will come down. It could be heavy at times, and we'll pick up about 3 to 5 inches of accumulation, maybe more in pockets, low around 15. For Saturday, snow before noon, then cloudy skies and a high near 27. Sunday's high around 15. Currently, 17 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So first it was firing a board member at the NLRB, and now you've got another board member fired at the FLRA, the Federal Labor Relations Authority. And again, this is another one of those things where you go, yeah, five people have been fired before, but not these people. This is that next level that we told you during the campaign Trump was going to do. We're going to make patronage great again. And all across this, it's got the little Doge boys and his ferrets, their fingers all over it. And here to share some thoughts on what's going on and dig into all of this, I've asked my good friend Michael Sonato to come talk with us. Michael's a labor reporter with The Guardian US. Michael, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on again, Rick.
So another firing. It's been Thursday was firing day. It's been firing week. There's been a lot of this going on. What do you make of this firing at the Federal Labor Relations Authority?
It's just another brazen overreach by the executive branch. So this hasn't happened before. The most similar case happened in the 30s. FDR fired an EEOC chair commissioner he didn't like. That was a holdover from the Coolidge administration. The Supreme Court ruled that he couldn't do that. So that's the precedent that Trump is completely ignoring. So these are just, unlawful. These are independent agencies. These people were appointed by the Senate. So this was congressional authority to put these people in their position. The president doesn't have the power to remove these people, these people in these positions. The NLRB board member, Gwen Wilcox, filed a lawsuit challenging her removal. I haven't seen yet if this FLRA chair is going to challenge her removal, but you know the same rules apply as it does to the NLRB board. They can only be removed by a president for negligence or misconduct, and that wasn't even alleged. It was the White House's claim is they want everyone to join with Trump to make America great again.
And loyalty pledge.
You're not on board, they're going to kick you out.
Loyalty pledge. Loyalty pledge. Look, you know, this is what authoritarian rulers do. Kiss the ring, take the pledge, or you get fired. And look, you know, a court may decide, you know, they were illegally fired, unconstitutionally fired. But I don't think it's going to matter because I don't think Trump's going to listen to our courts. I think we're already post court. I think we're post checks and balances. I think Trump is going to do whatever he wants, however he wants. And there's nobody, his party especially, going to hold him in check.
No, I agree. That's what we've been seeing is, you know, courts have been ruling against him and they've just been ignoring those decisions. So the courts can't act fast enough. And, you know, their authority, their rulings aren't being, enforced. And there are no Republicans in power. They hold the majority in the Senate and the House who have, you know, an inkling of standing up to that that overreach of the executive power. And he's been pushing it, and it looks like he's going to continue to push it as far as he can until forces push them to stop or guardrails. So it's a scary time. We don't know what's going to happen over the next few weeks, months on all these fronts, but it's certainly very disturbing to watch it unfold.
Well, there is a small crack. There is a small crack in the armor. Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, she's introduced a piece of legislation to rename Mount Denali, that's been executive ordered, renamed Mount McKinley back to Denali. We've got, there's someone standing up.
we'll take modicums of resistance where we can get them, I guess.
That's it. You know, while all hell's breaking loose and the dumpster's on fire, you know, we're going to save the used, never mind. How important is this Federal Labor Relations Authority? How important is this position for working people? Because, look, during the campaign, I was telling my union brothers and sisters, look, this guy's been terrible for labor. He was terrible for labor in his first term. He's going to even be more aggressively terrible for unions and for workers. How important is this position?
It's incredibly important for federal workers. That's who they oversee, non-postal federal employees. So, at one front, federal workers are getting harassed, intimidated, bullied into resigning, having all these changes implemented willy-nilly, policies, their contracts violated right and left. All the probationary employees that have been fired, we don't have a number yet, but that just happened a couple last night. They're just being attacked on all fronts. So, you know, on the unfair labor practice charges, grievances, contract battles, all of these things that unions, you know, would normally go through with the FLRA to have resolved, there's nothing's going to happen on that front. And it's just going to cause, you know, further delays. I mean, at this point, for federal workers in the private sector, labor law, you can still file charges, file for union elections, but there's not a quorum to enforce it. So, and we've already seen employers start to take advantage of that with Whole Foods, the first union store to win the election. Amazon, which owns them, argued that they object to the election results. They can't accept them because there's not enough board members on the board.
And I that was by design. Look, ultimately, you cripple the ability of workers to organize. And now I've got friends who are like, well, the NLRB isn't that important. The NLRA is dead. It's ossified. It doesn't work in today. We've got to build a new worker power. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. 100% agree in the idea of building militant worker power. But if you don't have some government assistance, you just get locked up a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was put there for a reason, and obviously there were some negative impacts for it. You know, we've seen over the past few decades union density and all the union busting. But I mean, these were basic enforcers of labor law rights, and they were a check, not as effective as, you know, what we would like to see. But they were still a check to that power, and that's removed it. So this doesn't help workers. This helps employers. It helps union busters. You know, it helps, you know, the wealthy that don't want to recognize workers' rights.
Now I look at, and again, I keep going back to the campaign, because, you know, we were very clear during the campaign that Trump was going to, and Republicans were going to do everything they could do to break unions, to make unions illegal again. They were going to do it. And I had all my union friends go, no, you're just being hyperbolic. And I point to Utah, which does not have the highest union density. But even in a place like Utah, with a fairly low union density, they have moved to ban collective bargaining for cops and firefighters and teachers and public sector workers. We're waiting on the governor to see which way this goes. But it did pass the Senate, 16-13. And I love the framing of, you know, why this bill passed. It's because the unions, well, they couldn't come to a consensus on if they wanted to lose, you know, both legs, or, you know, one and a half legs, or you know, just one leg and an arm. They couldn't decide. So we're going to take everything, I guess, was the decision.
It's very concerning, especially because, you know, in the public sector, it has such a high union density compared to the public's, you know, the private sector. So that's where, you know, a lot of the union strongholds are within public employees. And I think, you know, this is, you know, at least one of the first instances where police and firefighters, you know, you look at like right to work laws and all these anti-union laws in states across the country, usually they're written out or exempted. Even in Trump's executive orders targeting federal workers with the hiring freeze and the, oh, you have to, you can only hire one if you get rid of every four workers, you know, all the police, military, you know, those people were exempted from those policies. So to the fact that the Utah Republicans are so brazen and so anti-union that they're not even considering that, I think says a lot about where these policies are coming from. And what we've seen in states across the U.S. is they do not occur in a vacuum. So if, you know, whoever, whatever right-wing anti-union interest helped push this bill to get passed in Utah, I can bet you they're doing the same thing to try to repeat it in wherever states they can. So
no, look, this is the beginning of what we see coming down the road, as you pointed out. Any word whether Utah Governor Spencer Cox is going to sign this? Because I haven't heard one way or another. Do you have any sense?
I do not have a sense yet, unfortunately. So, you know, I'm not very optimistic in doing that. And, you know, even if he does veto it, you know, where does that leave it? And whether it gets overrided by the state senate and house, or you know, they just come up, you know, with a different bill. So why would he, you know, based on, you know, whatever reason he comes up with an excuse if he happens to veto it? But it doesn't look promising.
No, none of this stuff ever does get to that point. But I do have to get your thought, because, you know, we're seeing all of these firings. We're seeing all of the attacks on labor that you and I have talked about, that during the campaign we said were coming. And look, Trump was always an anti-labor guy. He in New York, where you had to use union labor, he was good to them because he had to be. But everywhere else, slime bag. But this next level, this seems like even for Trump, a next step. This seems like it's got Musk's fingers all over it. And you look at this Doge thing and the little ferrets that he's got running, little teenage ferrets he's got running through our government. This is something I think every person, red hat, blue hat, no hat, you should be concerned with.
Absolutely. I think we all know Elon Musk has, you know, had held contempt for unions. He's gotten in trouble, faced a lot of scrutiny for union busting at Tesla, making anti-union statements, and he didn't like being told by the, you know, the labor board that he can't do that, that he has to delete a tweet. So, you know, it's very disconcerting. You know, his Trump's Secretary of Labor nominee, she may have supported the PRO Act, but given what everything else is going on, what we're seeing with at the Department of Labor and just how workers are treated in general, it just doesn't, you know, show, you know, any promise. So I know, you know, the Teamsters took credit for that, and they've been really supportive of that nominee, but you know, that look at the fires around all of that. So I don't see how she is going to alleviate any of the rollbacks that we're seeing, whether it's you know, the joint employer rule, which, you know, their Amazon drivers were trying to you know, push through because they're you know, identified as third party contractors, but Amazon didn't want to, you know, doesn't want them to unionize, doesn't want them to have those rights or have that liability, and, you know, all these different labor laws and just little rules, overtime rules, all of these things getting rolled back, and you know, I think we can all anticipate just the backlash to that, what's going to be enacted in their place. And it's going to be what we saw in the first Trump administration on steroids, with, you know, favoring employers and just the wish list of groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other anti-union groups.
Yeah, but the Secretary of Labor nominee, you know, I gave Sean O'Brien, the Teamsters president, credit for it. You know, this is what you got. And when there was a picture of O'Brien, Trump, and former representative DeRemer, I said, you know, this picture is not going to age well, because, you know, the reality is all of this bad stuff is going to happen with or without her. So she's going to inherit what already is a mess, and by the time she gets in there, it's going to be even worse. And there's nothing she's going to be able to do to turn this ship around, because if she tries, they're just going to oust her.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's presiding over, you know, a Department of Labor who, even under the Biden administration, you know, all the leadership we're talking about, where they're understaffed, underfunded, you know, they're handling caseloads that are far beyond what, you know, that they can handle. And, you know, they're going to be reliant on a Congress and an administration that wants to cut in everything that they can and run everything on a skeleton budget, which, you know, these agencies were already doing and were already grappling with doing as much as they could with as little as possible.
But I want to go back to Elon Musk for a minute in this whole Doge thing, because, you know, I get a lot of emails from people going, well, you know, they found this. And, you know, fill in the blank with whatever this. Cats walking on treadmills seems to be the one. Or condoms. You know, we spent a gazillion billion dollars on condoms for foreigners. We shouldn't be doing that. And then when the reality, when the facts start to come out, nowhere close to what Musk said. And, in fact, in the Oval Office said, Musk said, you know, yeah, sometimes I'm going to be incorrect. Basically saying, hey, I'm going to lie to you. And millions of people are going to hear the lie. But when you fact check me, I'll throttle you. Nobody will ever hear it. But this idea that they're going to keep throwing you know what at us, and most of it's the majority, I'm going to go all of it, is going to be exaggerated, is going to be presented in the worst meme kind of light possible to get people to hate government, to get people to hate government action, and allow for this kind of corporate authoritarianism that I see coming as Trump and Musk. I do believe Musk thinks we're in a post-people kind of world. Going to run the government with AI. They think robotics are going to replace us. Do you share the same kind of sense? Do you share the same kind of reality?
No, absolutely. Elon Musk, you know, the whole fraud and waste is just, you know, a facade. and just, you know, publicity thing. He's tweeting out just out of context, very vague claims of what they're finding. None of it's been proven to be fraud or anything. It's just something he ideologically disagrees with. On top of, you know, he's been bad at auditing his own companies. He's been fighting at Tesla for himself to get a salary of $50 billion a year that his own shareholders have been fighting against when Tesla only makes around $90 billion in revenue. That's not even profits. Their board of directors just had to settle a lawsuit in January for getting overpaid nearly $1 billion. That was because of a shareholder lawsuit as well. So you talk about all, you know, the whole just waste and fraud, just is ridiculous. And yeah, he's, you know, tweeted out completely debunked claims of what expenditures were made, like the $50 million condoms to Gaza, which was baseless, clearly proven. They've never taken ownership for that. There's been no transparency in what they're doing. He has immense conflicts of interest. You know, he's made over $20 billion through federal contracts. We just saw the Pentagon is, you know, going to buy $400 million worth of cyber trucks. You know, for what? So,
and why those? See, look, yeah. Those are the most useless looking things I have ever seen. I've seen a couple drive down the road. I'm like, how do you move anything? Can you move a couch in that? Is that possible? That's not a truck. That's that thing we used to put together with blocks of wood, and you would carve off the ends. That's what that is.
Absolutely,
soapbox cars. Oh, I'll tell you, we're in a really screwy place, and it's only getting worse. Last question I've got for you. What are we looking for in the coming days and weeks? Where's the next attack coming from?
You know, it's going to be hard to tell, but I think just as Doge has more time to get into more government agencies as they try to figure out what they can either legally do, like they fire probationary employees or trying to figure out ways to push people out, I think is the next thing. The resignation buyout offer, only 75,000 workers took that. You know, based on data for the past 8 years, around 200,000 federal workers leave, whether they resign voluntarily, retire, or quit a year. So, you know, federal workers I've talked to, they're very resilient. They want to keep doing the work. They don't want the easy way out. You know, they've claimed a lot of those workers are, you know, either remote workers or workers who thought they were going to be first on the chopping block and might as well get out while they can. So yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of resistance, and it's going to be a long fight for these workers and for federal worker unions.
I don't know that I would take it, simply because I all of the stories of Trump, you know, and Musk as well, stiffing people on what they owe them. Because as I understood, there was no guarantee that this was going to actually work out. There was the details were very sketchy, but you know, we'll see how it works out. But Michael, as always, great work over there at the Guardian US. Keep it up, and I hope you come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Michael Sonato, labor reporter there at the Guardian US. I want to hear your thoughts. You okay with what Trump's doing? You okay with the assault on the federal workforce? You okay with Utah banning collective bargaining for public sector workers? And are you ready for it to come to your neighborhood? Rick at the RickSmithShow.com. Back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1818. That was the day that abolitionist Frederick Douglass chose to celebrate his birthday. He could not be sure of the exact date of his birth because he was born into slavery. He escaped from slavery and became one of the leading black writers and orators for the cause of abolition. After the Civil War, he continued to speak and write, demanding justice for African Americans and working people. For example, in 1871, he penned an article article against increasing demands for cheap labor. He wrote, "Cheap labor is a phrase that has no cheering music for the masses. Those who demand it and seek to acquire it have but little sympathy with common humanity. It is the cry of the few against the many. When we inquire who are the men who are continually vociferating for cheap labor, we find the rich and powerful, the crafty and scheming, those who live by the sweat of other men's faces, and who have no intention of cheapening labor by adding themselves to the laboring forces of society. It is the deceitful cry of the fortunate against the unfortunate. Labor is a noble word and expresses a noble idea. Today, we still face a demand for ever cheaper labor. Business leaders and their political friends fight against efforts to raise the minimum wage. From 2011 to 2015, 8 states scaled back their prevailing wage laws, 19 reduced pensions, and 15 eroded collective bargaining rights. As these attacks on working people grow, it seems that Frederick Douglass's reminder that labor is a noble word is needed now more than ever.
We plant the food, we drive the cab, we load the ship.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So after Thursday's mass firing, again, you know, I go back to the campaign. We said this was coming, so there's no surprise. There's no shock. You knew this was going to happen. But AFGE National President Everett Kelly released a statement saying that this administration has abused the probationary period to conduct a politically motivated, politically driven mass firing spree targeting employees, not because of performance, but because they were hired before Trump took office. He said these firings are not about poor performance. There is no evidence these employees were anything but dedicated public servants. They are about power. They are about gutting the federal government, silencing workers, and forcing agencies into submission to a radical agenda that prioritizes cronyism over competence. Kelly says despite OPM's guidance earlier this week advising agencies not to engage in sweeping terminations, the administration has plowed forward. Employees were given no notice, no due process, and no opportunity to defend themselves in a blatant violation of the principles of fairness and merit that are supposed to govern federal employment. He says agencies have spent years recruiting and developing the next generation of public servants by firing them en masse. This administration is throwing away the very talent these agencies need to function effectively in the years ahead. AFGE will fight these firings every step of the way. We will stand with every impacted employee, pursue every legal challenge available, and hold this administration accountable for its reckless actions. Federal employees are not disposable, and we will not allow the government to treat them as such. And look, you know, this is the reason that you join and form unions. This is the reason that you have the support. And this is why, understand, this is why Doge Boy and Trump and the rest of them are so vehemently anti-union, because there's someone going to stand up and fight them for doing whatever they want. They're used to having dictatorial powers, at-will powers. And when workers have the ability to say, we should have some security, so decent wages, decent benefits, yeah, they're not about that. So good on Everett Kelly and AFGE and the unions that are standing up and fighting this. They are the last line of saving our democracy. And look, they've been weakened by decades of Republican assaults. This is not new. It's just more public now. It's more brazen now. And look, you know, if you're a current union member right now, it's not long before it's you. First, they came for the public sector workers, and you did nothing. And then they're going to come for you, and then they're going to come for everything else. OSHA, federal wage laws. overtime, minimum wage. It's going to come for everybody. It's angering, it's frustrating, and I hope there's some outrage out there. But I want to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Is this something that gets under your skin? I want to hear it. Also, miss any portion of the program, podcast. And as always, thanks for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Federal prosecutors in New York have filed a motion to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. CBS's Jake Rosen.
The motion to dismiss the 5-count indictment on corruption and fraud charges was filed on the court's public docket on Friday, saying the Deputy Attorney General has determined, pursuant to an authorization by the Attorney General, that dismissal is necessary and appropriate. The judge overseeing the case must approve the motion before charges are officially dropped.
Danielle Sassoon, the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, submitted her resignation to Attorney General Pam Bondi after being asked to drop the case against Adams. And several members of the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section in Washington have also